Praise the Lord. It's good to be in the house of the Lord this morning. Hallelujah. Yes. This is the Father's house. This is not the hog pen. Glory to God. And we know the difference. There's peace in the house. Joy in the house. Healing in the house. Salvation in the house. Prosperity in the house. Everything you need is in the house. Everything you want is in the house. It's not in the house, you don't need it. If it's not in the house, you don't want it. Father, we thank you, Lord, this day for your goodness to us. We thank you for this assembly gathered here this morning to hear the word of God. We pray that you'll open our eyes that we might behold wondrous things out of your word. Give us the spirit of wisdom and not of fear. Give us revelation, knowledge, and understanding of the word of faith and authority of the believer. That we might be able to operate the ministries that you've given us in Jesus' name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
All right, we're talking about the book of Jude, and Jude talked about the book of Enoch. And we were talking about the book of Enoch a little bit last time. And the book of Enoch talks about the calendar. And the book of Enoch uses a 364-day calendar. But it also recognizes that the Bible uses a 360-day calendar. So, Enoch recognized that the real calendar was 364 days, but that the Bible calendar was 360 days. So when the Bible talks about a year or a month or several months, all you got to do is however many months, just multiply it times 30. It's 30 days per month, regardless. And so that's what you're dealing with in the Bible. It's always a 30-day month. And there's 12 of them, 360 days, straight across the board. Now, how in the world they made that work, I have no idea, because they obviously knew that there was more days in a year than 360. And so how they made all of their seasons and everything come out, nobody knows. Nobody knows. It's one of those great mysteries. One of those that they don't know. They don't remember. They have no idea. I don't know how you make a 364-day year work. I mean, I don't know. I suppose it's even barely possible that in those days, there were 364 days in a year. It's possible that the earth hasn't always moved at the same rate of speed that it moves today. And it's also possible that it won't always move at the same rate of speed that it does today. There's no reason to think that God couldn't or wouldn't or didn't change the rate of rotation of the earth. That at various times he may have. I don't know. I don't know what he might do. We know right now that there's 365 and one-fourth days in a year. We don't know that necessarily always was true thousands of years ago. We just don't know. We know one time God stopped the earth altogether. And it didn't turn at all for a day. So we know that, and we know one time God made it go backwards for a while.
That's true.
In the days of Hezekiah, he made it go backwards. So, I mean, you know, God can do things. And we don't know what he's done. And we don't even know what he might do. So we can't assume that what he's doing today is the same thing as he's always done or that he always will do. Because we just don't know. So we have to be, you know, broaden your mind a little bit.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen. You know, Brother Harden, I tell people, like they said in the Bible, we have not been this way before. 2018, Holy Spirit, lead us and guide us.
Amen.
Navigate us through this year.
That is true.
Get us through this.
That is very true.
You know where you want us to go.
That is very true.
To go wherever you want us.
Yes.
Amen.
Our God is big enough. Our God is bigger than we think he is.
Amen.
He is bigger than we give him credit for.
Amen.
There's nothing he can't do and that he might do for his church's sake.
Whoa.
So
it's just all of the people rising up asking for service.
That's true. That is absolutely right.
Knowing that's right. Their rights, you know.
That's right, Sister Mary.
What's legally for them that Christ has provided, but that's for He just waited for us that. He got it. He just waited
That's
for
true.
Us to ask for it.
Who knows what he might do if we asked him for it?
Amen.
That's true.
I know we all have had children, you know, growing up, and they would ask us for, you know, certain things. Mom, can I have a car? You know, and you're like, huh? But your mind gets to thinking about, now, how can I get this kid a car?
Yes.
When will I get it for him? When would you think he needed it? And what kind will I get? He puts your mind in motion, you know. You know, you may not even been thinking about a car, but they ask, hey, can I have a car? You know, I was telling my grandkids, help take care of Grandma and Granny's car, because when they ever give to you. He said, oh, no, I'm going to get a brand new one. I thought, you're only 6 years old, you better.
He got Sheila's Camaro. I had an old car, and I said, there ain't no way you should. It was like a year old. I said, there's no way I need a car. You're not getting that Camaro. Do you know that child because my dad got that Camaro? I mean, it's like, how did this happen?
See, it's like you're saying, Bro Hoy, we don't put our faith out there for nothing. We don't ask it. We don't ask for big.
That is true.
You know, like Joshua told the son to stand still. You know, we. Are you
That's
sure?
Right.
You know.
That's right.
You know, we don't, but we are. We're getting ready to step out and
That's true.
This thing that belongs to us.
That is true.
Because we know who is the author of our inheritance. We know who's in our inheritance. The Holy Spirit.
These are the days of courtship. These are the days right before the marriage of the Lamb.
Amen.
Now. You know, the rabbis have a saying that when love is new, two can sleep on a sword blade. But when it is old, a bed of 60 cubits is not wide enough. But now the point is that when you're courting and the new and love is new, there is nothing that you would deny that wife, that woman, that wife-to-be. There's nothing you wouldn't deny her.
Amen.
Anything she asked, you would do your best to give her.
Amen.
And that's where God is. Love is new. God's, Jesus's love with the church is new. Just like in the book of Song of Solomon. Love is young, love is new. There's nothing he wouldn't give the church.
Mm-hmm.
He'll give the church everything she asks. He wants to.
Yeah.
Love is young.
Well, he said, it was my pleasure to give you the kingdom.
That's right. That is correct.
The kingdom has everything.
That is true. We need to know who we are. We need to know we are the bride.
Yes.
And he is the bridegroom. And we need to know our relationship with him. It's all about relationship. Praise
Amen.
The Lord. It's all about relationship.
Amen.
Well, praise the Lord. The book of Enoch. Book? No, not the book of Enoch. The book of Jude. Let's talk about the book of Enoch. No, we won't talk about the book of Enoch. There's a lot to talk about in the book. There's a lot to talk about in the book of Jude. Where did we leave off last time? I guess about 16.
Yeah.
Somewhere around verse 16. These are murmurers, complainers, walking after their own lusts, and their mouth speaketh great swelling words, having men's persons in admiration because of advantage. And we know that in some of these mega churches, they have some celebrities in some of these mega churches that wield an inordinate amount of influence in those churches by virtue of who they are. These people... just, you know, it's all about them. So these people running these churches have people's persons in admiration because of advantage. And Jude and James says that ought not to be. It ought not to be. It doesn't make any difference who you are. And Paul ran onto some people and he said they seemed to be somewhat whatsoever they were. He said it didn't matter to him. So whatever they were, these muckety mucks, whoever they were, Paul said, I don't care about these people. I don't care about who they are or what they are. It doesn't matter to me. That's the way we ought to be. We ought not to have people's persons in advantage, regardless of who they are. We're all in this together. But beloved, remember ye the words which were spoken before the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, how they told you there should be mockers in the last time, who should walk after their own ungodly lusts. These be they who separate themselves sensual, having not the Spirit. But ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. This is a wonderful scripture in verse 20. Building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Now, it doesn't exactly say here that praying in the Holy Ghost, it doesn't exactly say here that faith comes by praying in the Holy Ghost. However, there are many things that happen by praying in the Holy Ghost that certainly do affect your faith.
Yes.
Okay? Praying in the Holy Ghost has a very positive effect on your faith.
Amen.
So, praying in the Holy Ghost, for one thing, will dispel a spirit of fear.
Yes.
You know, and we all have a tendency, you know, if we don't pray in the Holy Ghost on a regular basis, well, the world tends to kind of, you know, just gradually, you know, encroach into our lives, and the fear of you know, the fear of man and the fear of things, various things, can just gradually seep into your life.
And Brother Horton, you don't have to leave home. It comes in through TV.
Oh, comes. That's right. Absolutely. Comes in. It comes in everywhere. Comes in from everywhere. So you need to pray in the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost can drive out the spirit of fear. The Holy Ghost builds boldness.
Yeah.
I mean, the Bible said, you know, they were filled with the Holy Ghost and they spoke the Word of God with boldness.
Yeah.
Boldness is when you speak without fear.
Yeah.
And that's one thing the Holy Ghost does, is dispel fear.
Yeah.
The Holy Ghost gives you boldness.
Yeah.
Gives you power. Power over.
Amen.
Everything, power over the world, power over the devil.
Yes.
And praying in the Holy Ghost builds you on your faith, because fear and faith cannot exist together. To the extent that you're afraid, you're not in faith.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
If you're walking in fear, you're not walking in faith. Because faith is not fear. And fear is not faith. So if you have a lot of fear in your life, you have very little faith in your life. You need to get rid of that fear. Get that fear out of your life. Because if you're afraid, you cannot be in faith. So we need to get fear. Fear is a dangerous and deadly thing. It's dangerous to the children of God, and we need to get rid of it. Not walk in fear. We should never walk in fear. We should never fear. We should not fear man. We should not fear devil.
Right.
And praying in the Holy Ghost will absolutely fill you with boldness, and will get rid of the fear in your life so that you can walk in faith. Because if the fear is there, the faith isn't there. The faith is weak. So you need to get rid of the fear so the faith can be strong.
Yeah.
So this is very important for us to pray in the Holy Ghost and pray in the Holy Ghost on a regular basis.
Yeah. You know, Sister Mary. As we looked in the book of Acts, many times we saw that they were full of the Holy Ghost. They were
right.
And I can believe they prayed in tongues.
Yes. Oh, yes. Yes, yes.
They were going to the prayer meeting.
That's right. Oh, that's right.
And I know they kept themselves filled up.
Yeah.
That's right.
So they were ready for any and all things.
Yes, they were.
Came their way.
That's right.
But they kept themselves built up.
That's right, brother.
You know, last week we went over this scripture. It says in 12 there, it says, them feeding themselves without fear. Mm-hmm. And I seen in the Psalms this week, I seen there in Psalms 55, it says, because they have no change,
yeah,
therefore they fear not God.
I know. That's a great scripture. I love that scripture. But go ahead and elaborate on that. Tell us about it.
I'm just thinking, you know, people, you know, that if they come to church and they never change, you know, one time, I mean, they
yeah.
We all need to go from, you know, glory to glory to glory. But,
yeah. Now, we're not talking about the fear of God here, obviously.
No.
Because the fear of God is good. The fear of God brings faith, okay? The fear of God brings faith.
The fear of God.
The fear of God brings faith.
Yes.
Okay?
Yes.
I mean, you that's right. I mean, you if there the fear of God is a good thing. If you fear God, you don't fear anything else.
Fear is good.
That's right.
Fear is bad.
If you don't fear God, you fear everything else.
Yes.
You fear God, you fear nothing else.
Right.
If you fear not God, you fear everything else.
And the fear of God's for your good. Either.
The fear of God is for your good. That's absolutely right. Praise the name of the Lord.
One of the scriptures that Brother David just read for it says, because they have no change.
Yes.
Therefore they do not fear. You know, sometimes because we say God is so merciful and so good, and I think we're seeing that now. He's not going to do anything bad to me. I'm not afraid because, you know, God is only does good. God is not a God of vengeance. God is not a God of wrath. And so sometimes people get that. They get too comfortable. Am I making any sense? They get real comfortable.
You said the word comfortable.
Comfortable, yes.
Real comfortable with God, and they think God is not going to let anything bad happen to me, no matter what I do, and they have no fear. And you know, you see that today. You see people saying,
"See here, that's true."
Anyway, it don't matter because God's not. God loves you. He wants you to be happy.
And Satan hates you, and you get away from God, he's gonna get you.
Yeah,
that's why you got.
See here, here's what that scripture means to me. It's 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 4. Well, 3 and 4. Knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers,
yeah,
walking after their own lusts, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. So they're saying, well, because everything, you know, you all have been talking about the coming of the Lord all of my life, nothing has changed.
Yeah.
Well, okay. It will. Just stay tuned. But just because nothing has changed doesn't mean that God is okay with sin. He's not okay with sin. He's never okay with sin just because he doesn't smack you every time you look cross-eyed. Mm-hmm. But he's not okay with it.
You know, the book of Jude, he had to remind them, he had to go all the way back,
yes,
to Genesis.
That's true.
Tell them how he dealt with Cain.
That's
how
right.
He dealt with Court, how he dealt with all of them.
That's right.
How he dealt with Sodom and Gomorrah.
That
how
is
he
true.
Dealt with even the angels.
That's right.
He was trying to let the readers know that God is faithful in judging sin.
It's absolute. That's right.
He's faithful.
Yes, that's right.
He took us way back from Genesis.
Yep.
This is the grace dispensation. This is the time when God's grace abounds towards everyone.
Yes.
He's not in the process and in the business in this dispensation of smacking people. But that doesn't mean that judgment is not coming. It is coming.
And you reap it even now, because the wages of sin is death.
The wages of sin is death.
So you do reap what you sow. You know, not necessarily that God is smacking people, but you sin and you live a drunk life, you're probably going to die young.
California has not fallen off the edge of the earth.
But it may.
Yeah. But it may. But remember, there's sin. That's what I'm not going to always say. Remember that
this is the grace dispensation, okay?
If I was God, all right. I'd make
I've been praying that everybody that moves up north from the south gets converted, and
that's the power of